just enough to show that we were passing through what looked like a series of densely packed slums. The holographic recording was still playing, so that the old city was superimposed on the new one like a faint ghost. Ahead, the tube curved round and vanished into a tiered cylindrical building from which other tubes radiated, threading out across the city. The train was slowing as we approached the tiered building. Grand Central Station, Chasm City. As we entered the building, the holographic mirage faded, taking with it the last faint memory of the Belle Époque. Yet for all its glory, only Quiddenbach and I seemed to have taken much notice of the hologram. The other passengers stood silent, scrutinizing the scorched and littered floor. "Still think you can make it here?" I asked Quiddenbach, "after what you've seen now." He gave the question a lot of thought before answering. "Who's to say I won't? Maybe there are more opportunities now than ever before. Maybe it's just a question of adaptation. One thing's for sure, though."
"What's that?"
"Whatever music I write here, it isn't going to cheer anyone up." Grand Central Station was as humid as deep peninsular jungle, just as starved of light as the forest floor. Sweltering, I removed Vadim's coat and bundled it under one arm.
"We've got to get these implants out," Quiddenbach said yet again, tugging at my sleeve.
"Don't worry," I said. It hadn't slipped my mind. The roof was supported by fluted pillars which rose up like hamadryad trees, before thrusting their fingers through the roof into the brown gloom beyond. In between these pillars was a densely packed bazaar, a motley city of tents and stalls, through which passed only the narrowest and most twisting of passageways. Stalls had been built or piled above each other, so that some of the passageways became back-breakingly low, lamplit tunnels through which people were forced to stoop like hunchbacks. There were several dozen vendors and many hundreds of people, very few of whom were accompanied by servitors. There were exotic pets on leashes, genetically enhanced servants, caged birds and snakes. A few hermetics had made the error of trying to force their way through the bazaar rather than finding a route around it, and now their palanquins were mired, harried by traders and tricksters.
"Well," I said, "do we risk it or find a way around?"
Quiddenbach clutched his briefcase closer to his chest.
"Much against my better judgment, I think we should risk it. I have a hunch, merely a hunch, mind, that we may be pointed towards the services we both so urgently require.
It might be a mistake.
And it probably won't be the first of the day either. I'm somewhat on the ravenous side anyway. There's bound to be something edible around here, and it might not be immediately toxic."
We pushed our way into the bazaar. Quiddenbach and I had taken barely a dozen steps before we had attracted a mob of optimistic kids and surly beggars.
"Do I have effluent and gullible written in conspicuous neon letters on my forehead?" Quiddenbach said.
"It's our clothes," I said, pushing another urchin back into the throng. "I recognized yours as being mendicant made, and I wasn't even paying you much attention."
"I don't see why that should make much difference."
"Because it means we're from outside," I said, "beyond the system. Who else would be wearing mendicant clothing? That automatically guarantees a certain prosperity, or at least the possibility of it." Quiddenbach clutched his luggage to his chest with renewed protectiveness. We pushed our way deeper into the bazaar until we found a stall selling something which looked edible. In Hospice Idlewild, they treated my gut flu.